Reading this morning, the first one is from Exodus 3, verses 1 through 15. It's found on page 90 in your pew Bibles. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jericho and his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? And then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the people, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Second reading is from Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. It's found on page 1825 in your pew Bible. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I'm so glad to be here, even if I'm a substitute for the substitute. And I don't want you to feel bad because I didn't do my joke at the beginning, so I'll do it now before the sermon. Have you ever had a job where people complained all the time? It's tough, isn't it? One day, this lady finally called her boss because of the lady who was giving her a hard time in her department. And the lady said to the boss of the store, "You seem to have just idiots working here. It took them forever to wait on me, and then they weren't very pleasant to me. They didn't show me all of the things that they had. And then I asked to see the boss, and it took them forever to get me to you. Do you just hire idiots?" And the boss said, "Would you like an application?" Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, your strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You're probably familiar with the story of Moses. Moses had been left his countryside and went out into the country away from his private prior life, and now he's a shepherd for his father-in-law. Moses has settled into a peaceful, quiet life far from the palace of the Pharaoh, far from the life of elegance. His time, however, has been one of preparation, and now God comes calling. Moses' past has caught up to him. His life had made dramatic changes before. From the day his mother put him into the basket and set him in the river, Moses would not live the life that a person from his roots would have lived. Moses' job had turned from being a prince in Egypt to a shepherd in the hills of Horeb. By several decisions and outcomes of action, Moses was now in this quiet place instead of one of the slaves making bricks for the Pharaoh. I've had 9 jobs in my life, from babysitter to minister. It seems to me that my life has been one of God putting a puzzle together for the final outcome. He's not done yet. I haven't seen the whole picture. You may have learned what to avoid or what to do if you've had jobs in your life too. Whether you particularly liked your job or not, you learned something from it. Moses, raised in Pharaoh's household, was the perfect person for God to pick to negotiate with him. He would have known the protocol, the little things that only someone who lived there would know. But inside of Moses were the Hebrew genes. Imagine, from an infant, the Pharaoh taught him that the Israelites were slaves, not really worth anything. Moses' mother became his caretaker, so she may have instilled some of his roots in him. He fled to save his life for killing a soldier and was away for 30 years. He had gone from place of pampering and authority to a place of hard work. He had gone from a place of dancing girls and entertainment to a quiet life of menial labor. When God called him, his memories of Egypt were probably faint. His life had been good here in this country. But God knew that just as the background of Egypt would be invaluable, his background in the quiet religious life would be another part of Moses that would help him to go and free his people. Bob read to you from Philippians, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." when God began his good work in Moses, he would see it to completion. When God sees his good work in us, he will see it to completion. No matter how many jobs we have, the work that we are about is not just accomplishment of this temporary task. The work that we are about is accomplishing God's will. In an article by Chuck Johns in The Voice called Faith Matters, he tells this story. An Amish farmer constructed a variety of handmade wooden garden items. They were well made, attractive, and priced fairly enough to have a wide appeal. He would sell the items wholesale to dealers who would in turn market them. One particular dealer, however, cheated the farmer. He did not pay what he said, did not sustain his end of the bargain. The farmer was counseled to engage an attorney and bring legal action against the dealer to recover his financial loss. Simple justice at the least. The Amish craftsman promptly refused such counsel with the words, "No, that is not our way." Was the farmer foolish or admirable? His words give us something to think about. That is not our way. Probably most of us would have followed the counsel. I'm not saying that is wrong. Everyone has to do what he or she thinks is right to make their job make sense. But it is important to know what our way is. Because I am a Christian, are there things that I feel strongly about doing or refraining from doing? Are there jobs that I know will never make the Christian list? About paid assassins, violent debt collectors, fire starters who help people collect their insurance. I guess we would all agree on those jobs. But how about something like this? Companies who hire foreign workers for only cents a day. Magazines that are printed with obscene messages and lower human dignity. Social work that cares more about numbers, laws, and cases than people. Teachers who humiliate children and teach peer pressure. Businesses that make their money by destroying health and environment. Web pages that promote unhealthy subjects for our teens, sponsors of violent TV shows. I'm sure you could add to that list. Satan can use almost every job that anyone can think of just as easily as Christ can use it. Even ministers and priests can be vessels of unholy work. When I was attending seminary, one man every summer when we went to seminary had an affair with somebody there, a minister. And when I called him on it, he said, "The man in the pulpit is not the man in the street." What is our way? What is it we wish to accomplish? Moses was leading his everyday life. Most of the time, God speaks to us in our everyday life. Is the life you are living one that is the Christian way? Would you be embarrassed to have Jesus come into your workplace? Moses could have shrugged his shoulders and trotted on with his flock, and he would have missed God, perhaps for his whole life. It seems to be not as simple as God just killing the Egyptian oppressors with lightning from heaven. It looks as if God would want men and women like Moses to fight for him. So Moses had to change jobs. He had to give up his job as a shepherd and become a freedom fighter. His quiet, peaceful life had come to an end. You may not be called upon to change jobs like Moses, and you may not be called for God to begin his good work in you. You may already be doing the job he meant for you, and in concert with what God wants from you. Maybe you just haven't explored how you can share your faith with someone else. Mark Gibson is a race car driver. He's a member of Harmony Grove Church in Auburn, Georgia. Gibson had taken his cars to church barbecues, shopping centers, men's retreats, schools for carnival days, and anti-drinking and driving fairs. He says, "I'm a shy person and would never feel comfortable going door to door witnessing my faith. But my race car naturally draws people near, and I share my faith with them." Connie Warren is a clown. She goes to churches, nursing homes, community festivals, hospitals, and homeless shelters, and shares her faith as she gives joy to those she meets. Reverend Antone Dykes bought a broken watch for 50 cents, fixed it up, and gave it away as he shared his faith. Now he finds watches at yard sales, pawn shops, flea markets, and estate sales. He says, "I wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me to whom to give the watch. After giving the watch, I strike up a conversation and figure out how I can bring up the importance of developing a relationship with Christ without angering the person." He's proud to say that 75% of the people who receive a watch find their way to a church and relationship with Christ. As we go about our own activities, we sometimes forget those who labor in our churches. It takes many people to make sure that our worship experience is fruitful, our fellowship as believers is valuable, and our work together as Christians is profitable. I look around this room and I can name most of your talents, I think, and how this church lives over 200 years because of all the work you do. Linda's beautiful music on the piano, Joyce and Kathy with the bulletins, all the men when you do the projects that you do to help people, and all of the things that you do. Ella takes care of people and gives them sound advice. And Bob is the friendly face at the door. I could go on and on. You all have such marvelous gifts. And when Bob read the scripture from Philippians, that was me talking to you. I think of you often and pray for you all. Now God looks to us on this Labor Day Sunday. What good work God began in you? What good work will bring someone else to follow Jesus? You would be surprised at what you and God can do together, doing it our way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in humbleness. So much of the world is in anxiety now, but we come with a joyful heart, O Lord, for we know that whatever happens in our life, you are beside us. You will help us. You will guide us. Help us to be joyful in the face of all that comes before us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.